Some big health news out today. European regulators have given a green light to the world's first malaria vaccine.
It's a major advance in the fight against a disease that kills more than 500,000 people every year. And the vast majority of those who die, children living in sub-Saharan Africa. British drug maker GlaxoSmithKline has been working on a malaria vaccine for 30 years in recent partnership with the PATH Malaria Vaccine Initiative, a nonprofit group. And their new vaccine, called RTSS or Mosquirix, has proven partially effective in African clinical trials, but the results were less positive in extremely young children. We're joined now by Carla Botting. She's managing director of the RTSS project with the PATH Malaria Vaccine Initiative. Carla, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, how significant of an achievement would you characterize this new vaccine as being?
Well, I think the announcement today is a huge historic event, and this is the first ever malaria vaccine to reach this point. It was given a positive scientific opinion by the European Medicines Agency, which is the lead regulatory authority in Europe. The opinion was to enable the use of the product in children 6 weeks to 17 months in sub-Saharan Africa. Although it won't be used in Europe, the European agency was able to give an opinion, and now the national regulatory authorities in the countries that may use it will be the ones that will ultimately give the official nod for approval and use.
Right. So, before we talk more about the vaccine itself, I wonder if you could describe to us just how devastating malaria is in places like sub-Saharan Africa. We see the numbers that 500,000 people are killed a year by this disease. But what effect does it really have if you're living in sub-Saharan Africa or parts of Asia?
Well, I think, you don't really realize the impact until you're actually there on the ground. The hospitals, they have a list of the top diseases that affect their particular hospital, and malaria is always generally in the top three. As you mentioned, there was over 500,000 deaths a year, and there's 2 million plus cases a year also of malaria. And the cases alone often mean that a parent will have to stay home with a sick child for several days at a time. And there's also a significant economic burden, not just for the hospitalization of the children, but also because the parents need to stay home from work in order to care for their children, and not to mention the fact that their child is severely ill.
Right. I'm just trying to help us imagine about what would go on in North America, Canada, the United States, and Mexico and Central America if in this part of the world 2 million people a year came down with one very, very devastating illness. There would be a great deal of attention paid to it, and that is essentially what happens every year in sub-Saharan Africa and parts of Asia. And as you said, children are especially vulnerable. But the vaccine, though, if I understand correctly, has actually had quite mixed results for very young babies.
The vaccine, as you may be aware or may not, we studied the vaccine on top of existing interventions. And so there was two age groups in the study. One was in children 6 to 12 weeks, and the other was in children age 5 to 17 months. And the younger age group did have lower efficacy than the older age group. However, I think it's important to take a look at the context of the vaccine. Just to give you an example, when you immunized on average 1,000 people in the clinical trial, there was approximately 980 cases on average prevented in those individuals. So almost one case per 1,000, and that was in the younger age group. In the older age group receiving the booster dose, there was about 1,700 cases prevented per 1,000. And the range was pretty significant. So in lower disease burden areas, it was about 200 per 1,000. But it went all the way up to over 6,500 cases prevented per 1,000. So children were getting about 7 cases over the course of the 4-year period, and the vaccine was able to prevent that number of cases.
So if I may ask, you are with the PATH Malaria Vaccine Initiative. That's a nonprofit group. This new vaccine was developed in partnership with GlaxoSmithKline. It's taken decades because it's the first vaccine for human use on parasitic infection. So I imagine that the research was rather complicated. What's the cost of the vaccine going to be? Is GlaxoSmithKline taking any profit from it?
So Glaxo has indicated, I mean, the price question is really up to Glaxo, but they have indicated that they would provide the vaccine at a not-for-profit price. And so they're not planning to take profit off the vaccine.
Mm. Well, finally, you know, the historic nature of this vaccine, duly noted, but also, I mean, it's still not 100% effective, as we've been talking about. So going forward, what do you see as sort of the best combination of treatments to prevent as many cases of malaria as we possibly can?
So I think that one of the things that is important to mention is that obviously we've met this huge milestone, this regulatory hurdle, but it's only one step in the process. The World Health Organization is the next step on the process. Well, they'll be making a policy recommendation. It's clear that we will need to continue to use bed nets, spraying, drugs. We're working closely with the other organizations that are deploying these interventions to ensure that there's the optimal mix of these interventions.
So bed nets definitely still matter.
Absolutely.
Well, Carla Botting is Managing Director of the RTSS Project at the PATH Malaria Vaccine Initiative. Carla Botting, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.